Oh, why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together? God, we love you. We thank you that we could come together and sing, and for these moments that when in song we praise you and we feel like we feel a little bit of what heaven will be like. Just a little glimpse. So thank you for that. Thank you that we could open your word together and read. God, I pray that as we do that this morning, that through your word you would speak to our hearts, that you would move in what you've written in the word, and that you would draw us to you. Help us to know and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I normally don't, well, I always do. I always do. I normally don't think about it, but I always notice how long the notes are. Buckle up. It's a good thing this morning isn't a potluck morning. Or maybe the page count is not any indication of how fast I'll talk. So we'll see at the end. So we're going to start where we ended last week. Where did we end last week? Well, we talked about how wicked we are, how our hearts are deceitful, how our flesh pulls us towards what we shouldn't be pulled towards, our tendency and our nature and our sinful nature and our nature to rebel against God. And that led us to see what we sin, which of course we know that wasn't a revelation to any of us. We sin and many times in spite of our best attempts not to sin. Last week, the big idea was we are rebellious by nature. We are prone to wander, to detour, to rebel, to leave the God we love. We saw, and if you didn't follow with us last week, Psalm 78, Romans 3 would be two good places to start with, to dive into that, to our tendency to rebel against God, to leave Him, to experience the His wrath and need His mercy. And then that reality should lead us to another question. And the question for today is this: what do we do when we sin? What should we do? What do we do when we sin? When we realize in that moment, it's like, I've been wandering a little bit. I've not been thinking the way I should. I've been speaking a little bit harshly. Well, my family wouldn't say a little bit. I've not been the person I should be lately. I've committed that sin again, once more. I've gone back to the same dry well one more time. When we feel that guilt and the remorse and, you know, that feels, of course you do. We all do. In that moment, what do we do? The idea for today is that God asks His children to do something that is a bit surprising. When we sin, He asks us to do something that is surprising. It's surprising because of what we normally do when we sin. What do we normally do when we sin? There's two things we normally do. One is we hide the sin. We try to make sure we don't want to look at it. We don't want anybody else to see it. We say it's over, it's done, it's in the past. I said the thing, I exploded, but that's done. As few people as all that is possible, the better. I don't want anybody else to know about that. Don't tell anybody. You ever hear that, you know, in your family? Don't tell anybody. No one should know about this. It's like when, you know, if you say a bad word, I was gonna say when you say a bad word, that's assuming that you say a bad word. So I'm not gonna assume that. If you ever say a bad word, what's the first thing your head does? You do the bad word swivel. There's who heard me? Because I want to hide it. Don't want anybody to know. I don't want anybody to see what I did. Our instinct is to hide how bad we are, the bad things that we do. So how do you hide your sin? Like right now in your life, what's the place in your house or in your life, the part of your day where you hope no one finds that? You hope that gets cleaned out before other people see it. But, and related to that, related to hiding our sin, the other thing we do with our sin is we deny it. Very similar to hiding. You could argue it's the same kind of thing. We deny it by saying that what we did wasn't actually sin. You ever heard somebody play? Isn't that funny when you hear someone playing that game, they're saying it out loud and you're thinking, yeah, your logic is so messed up. But we do that. Everyone does that. I shouldn't have done that, but, and then we try to explain why that wasn't actually sin that we did, or we deny that we actually did it. It's the thing, you know, where you see the little kid and they're actually doing the thing. Have you ever seen it? Maybe if you have kids, of course, this has happened to you, right? You catch them doing something, you say, who did that? And they're doing it. And what do they say? They pick their sibling. We deny that we did the thing. When we sin, our instinct is to hide it. It's to deny it. And God asks his children to do something that is completely different than that. God asks his children to confess our sins. To confess our sins. Start in 1 John. I know we're in Psalms. We'll get there. But start in 1 John chapter 1. Read just a little bit from there. And to prepare our Bible-flipping fingers, we're going to be in a couple of Psalms, and we're going to be primarily 1 John and a couple of Psalms today. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So God asks, in fact, he doesn't just ask, he commands his children to confess our sins. If you read the verses that come right before that, you see that this walking in the light, which is confessing our sins, is a prerequisite, not a prerequisite, that's before becoming, but it's part of being a Christian. It's part of being God's child. We confess our sins. That's what God wants us to do. That's the opposite of our natural instinct to hide and to deny our sins. The big idea for us today is this: God's children confess their sins. God's children openly, regularly confess their sins. That's what our Father expects us to do, that we would walk in the light when we sin, that we would confess it. And that is related to forgiveness, as we'll see at the end, and as John is pointing out in what we just read. So what is confession? And we say, well, I think I know what confession is. Now, depending how you were raised, depending what you know, religious shows you saw on TV, or what, confession may mean different things to us. So what actually is confession? We see a little hint of it in 1 John where we're at. Look at verse 8, the first part. If we say we have no sin, and then verse 9, if we confess our sins, so this, they're opposites. He's contrasting saying no sin, if we confess. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, so confessing and not confessing has to do with what we say. That's as simple as that. It's confessing is saying our sin. It's naming it. It's saying, I did that. There's a couple of Psalms that talk about a confession. Actually, they contain an incredibly rich description of. Go to Psalm 32. We'll start here, we'll flip over to 51, and then we'll come back to 32. So that's where we're going this morning. Look at verse 3. I'm just going to jump in. We'll come back to this one a little bit more, because there's good stuff around this. But what is confession? Psalm 32, verse 3. For when I kept silent. So again, that's like 1 John, right? When we say we have no sin, it's not saying the sin. And then look at verse 5. Psalm 32, verse 5, for I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So I acknowledged my sin. He said, I'll confess, so I acknowledge. It's saying it. It's recognizing it. And it's declaring our sin. It's saying, I did that. That thing. It's saying our sin. So who do we confess to? Is it a magical thing you do to a certain special person in a special place in a special time? We don't see that in the Bible. But when we look here, he's confessing directly. He's telling God. He confesses, I declared my sins to you. That's what he's doing to God. Confession can be and should be to God and to other brothers and sisters. We'll look at James chapter 5 later on. Confessing is saying our sins to God and to other people. Jump over to Psalm 51. And here we find a rich picture of what confession is and what it looks like and what it does. Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God. First one, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So he's going to dive deeply into confession in this psalm, but he starts out, this is a recognition that confession is recognizing our need for God's mercy. When we confess, we reveal our badness, our wickedness, and we realize, I realize in that moment, more than any other moment in my life, when I'm confessing, I did that thing, I said that thing. I'm realizing at that moment I need His grace and mercy more than I feel that in any other moment in my life. Look at verse 3. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Confessing is recognizing what we've done. It's declaring it to God, but He already knows it. So you could make the argument, well, why would we tell God something that He already knows? And you could extend that to prayer, and then you could ask that about many things. But with confession, let's keep it focused. Why would I have to tell God what He already knows? I think in great part, confession is declaring it to ourselves. It's me recognizing it. I'm telling God, He already knows it. But as I'm saying it to God, now it's public between Him and I did that, I thought that, I said that thing, I felt that emotion. No one saw me feel that emotion, but I did, and you saw it, and I'm saying it, I'm confessing, and now I recognize what I did. I'm not hiding it, I'm not denying it, it's out in the open between me and God. Confession is me recognizing it and owning and putting it out there and telling God, but I'm telling myself, arguably even more than I'm telling God, I did that. Verse 4, against you, speaking to God, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Confession is not just saying I did that and then talking our way out of it being wrong. I did that, but you know, if you wouldn't have done the thing before that, I wouldn't have gotten mad, and I would. It's accepting responsibility for what we've done. Sin is rebellion against God. Confession is deciding to submit ourselves to God. It's the opposite of sin, and that submission starts by recognizing I rebelled and recognizing that rebellion for what it is. Confession is accepting our guilt without any excuses. I did that because I said that because I did that. I'm guilty. Verse 5. Behold, I was. And it's also not playing the whole, I did that, but it's not as bad as, I mean, yeah, I got mad, but I didn't hit anybody. I was mad on the inside, but I didn't explode in anger this time. It's not comparing it to other worse, worse sins. It's saying, I did that, and that is sin. Okay, keep going. Verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. You teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Not a direct parallel, but there are parts of, when I read that, I flash to Romans 7, what we read last week, the second half of that chapter. Confession is recognizing that in our flesh, we're prone to rebel against God. Instead of saying, I'm not like that. I don't know where that came from. Don't know why I did that. Hey, that's not me. We've all said that, right? Confession is saying, that's how I am in my flesh. That's what I would be like left to myself. And much, much worse, this is the tip of the iceberg of the wickedness that would dwell in my heart if but for God's transformation in me. Without you making me a new person, I would always be like this. It's recognizing this is who I would be without you and without your work in my life. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Confession is recognizing that forgiveness, purification, and freedom from sin come only from God. And we need them. We need Him because we've disobeyed Him, and we will continue to do so if He doesn't work in us. Only He can remove our guilt and condemnation and transform us so that we are more like Jesus next time. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. I'm hearing a melody when I read that because growing up, that was a favorite song of my mother. And she would sing that, and it's word for word from this. And when we confess, confession opens the door to freedom, to restoration, to God making us the person more like the person we should be. When we confess and leave sin behind, God cleanses us and He restores us and He renews us. Look at verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. My tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. See, our confession, and if you read that, you say, David is like, is he ADD or what? He's going all over the place. First his confession and sin, and now he's, I want to teach people about you, God. It's a natural progression, because our confession, when we confess to God and He restores us and He cleans us and He makes us be more the person we should be, that should progressively result in a person that just naturally is declaring the greatness of God, that is always breaking forth in song because he or she is conscious of the forgiveness that they are receiving. It is a person that is always telling other people, proclaiming to other people of the goodness and the grace that are in Christ, is someone who sings forth the praise of the Redeemer. See, when we don't confess, and this is not my notes, so I'll come back. When we don't confess as Christians, and I'm pointing at myself, when we confess our sins from 20 years ago, but today I'm doing pretty good. When I don't confess the wickedness that is in my heart today and the emotions I shouldn't be feeling and the things I shouldn't say and the little bit of frustration that I felt yesterday, and I shouldn't say the word little because that's minimizing my sin. When we don't confess, what happens is we stop seeing the cross and all of its glory. We stop seeing how good and great God is. And we stop singing in the awe that we had. You say, well, why did I feel so much different when I first became a Christian? It's because we were so conscious of that moment. I am a horrible, wicked person, and God saved me. And then we get used to being pretty good people, and I don't really need to be saved anymore because I already have been, and I'm pretty decent now, and I'm not confessing that yesterday and even this morning I've not been the person God wanted me to, and so then I don't see my need for the cross, and I don't feel the forgiveness that I'm continually receiving in Christ, and I'm not prone to break into song or when I'm talking to someone else to want to tell them about how incredible it is that God would forgive a sinner like me even today. Back to the notes. Verse 16, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it to you. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. We confess because God is pleased with the person that recognizes his wickedness and his need instead of hiding it and denying it. Think of the two people who went up to the temple to pray, the story that Jesus told, right? God is pleased with the person who says, I need you. I'm not worthy. In spite of our, go back to Psalm 32 now. In spite of our instincts to hide and deny our sin, Psalms not only teach us what confession should look like, Psalms also teach us that really, truly, it is in our best interest to confess, in our best interest. Look at Psalm 32, verse 3. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Hiding our sin makes us feel miserable. And if we weren't in church and we felt comfortable being honest, we would all say amen really loud. Don't say it now, of course, but we would say, I know, right? We all have experienced that. It's horribly miserable to try to hide our sin because we were full of fear. We're full of fear that other people will find out, that they're going to think badly of us, that they're going to, to ruin our reputation. They're not going to see me as the person that I and try to portray that I am. And sin always grows inside of us more and more when we hide it. The more that we hide our sin, the more that we go back to it. The more that we don't confess, the more that we're miserable and we decay inside because we go back to the same thing, the thing that we said that we're going to leave behind, and we go back, and then every time we go back to it, we feel worse and worse. Look at verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Confession is declaring our sin, and that changes everything. And this dynamic of I'm miserable because I'm hiding my sin. I'm miserable because I'm trying to be a better person. It's just not working, and I don't want anybody to know about my struggle and the thing that it's embarrassing. And look at verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Bookending this description of the misery of hiding our sin and then confessing it to God are two glorious descriptions of the joy that comes from being open and confessing and putting our sin out there and the forgiveness we receive from our Father. There is joy and blessing in being forgiven, which comes in the context by confessing. Look at verse 10, now the end of this psalm. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Contrast that with verse 3, the misery. In this psalm, talking about sin, confession, surrender to God's will. Look at the contrast between the pain and then the mercy and the joy that comes from confessing. After he describes the agony that we feel when we hide our sins, and then he describes his joy. It says shout for joy, right? Yeah, shout for joy. The peace and the freedom and the forgiveness, the healing that we experience when we confess. I don't have to hide anymore. It doesn't matter what you think about me. I've confessed that sin to God. I've received forgiveness. That has not dominated me. Yes, sometimes I go back to that, but I confess it and that does not own me. I'm not a slave to that. I've received forgiveness from my Father and I'm moving away from it. So, if God's children confess their sins, they don't hide. If we're not supposed to hide or deny our sin, well, what's the application for us? What should we do? It's what we've said from the beginning, right? This whole sermon has been application. We should confess. We should confess our sins. If you are not a Christian and you are hearing this, confession is central. I've been talking about confession in the context of what Christians are to do as they confess their sin to their Father, but confession is also central to what God asks of you. We see it on the first day of Pentecost after Jesus ascended back to heaven when they proclaimed the gospel for the first time in public to all the people. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Look at how they respond to the gospel. It's with confession. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? Surrendering to Jesus starts by realizing, recognizing, accepting, declaring your brokenness, confessing your sin and your rebellion and your wickedness, but recognizing your need for a Savior. Coming to Jesus, in its essence, is saying, I've lived my life as my own boss. I've disobeyed my Creator. I have sinned. It starts with confession. And then look at what happens next. Look at verse 38. They said, what should we do? They were cut to the heart. They recognized their need for a Savior. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. After confessing your sin, your rebellion against God, after you recognize your need for a Savior, then you surrender to Jesus. You can decide to let him be the Lord of your life, to follow him. You do that by repenting and being baptized, by deciding you will be my Lord from this moment forward and be submerged in water. As you come up out of the water, as you do that, you're accepting Jesus as your Savior and Lord. That's what it means to surrender to him. It starts with confessing your need for him. So when you come to that moment, if you're not a Christian and you say, I know I need him. I can't. I'm a wicked person. I'm a rebellious person. I need a Savior. When you're ready to surrender to Jesus, you can tell one of us, one of the men who's been up here, you can repent and be baptized. And for those of us who are Christians, what should we do? Go back to Psalm 32. We've read it twice now. This is our application. Verse 5, Psalm 32, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Or flip over as promised to James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess. So you could rightfully say the psalm is just an example. David said, I did this. Not a command. We could debate that another day, but technically, yes. Look at James 5. It's a command. James 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. What we should do, listen, if you're a Christian, what you and I should do is develop the habit of confessing all of our sins to God, as David did in Psalm 32, to each other, to brothers and sisters who we trust, and as James 5:16 would have us do. And as we do that, as we confess to God, as we confess to others, we're confessing to ourselves. We're owning our sin. And if you say develop the habit, that doesn't seem like something I can just go and do. How do I do that? This is one of the easiest applications. The way to develop the habit of confessing our sins is letting each time that we sin be a little trigger, and we say, oh, I just sinned. I should confess. If we get in the habit of doing that, we easily will become people who immediately, as soon as we sin, look up and say, I did that. I shouldn't have done that. I said that. I shouldn't have said that. Find the person we sinned to. I just lied to you. You know how hard it is? I've actually had to do that. You know how hard it is to look at someone and say, that thing I said a little bit ago, that was a lie. And you're looking at them and they're like, why would you tell me that? Right? It's that's crazy. We should confess. Every time we sin, we should confess. There should be very little time. Sometimes I need to get over it. I need to get better. I need to work. I'll be ready to confess in a minute. I'll be ready to deal with it. No, no, no. There should be very little time between the time we sin and the time we confess. Our goal should be to make that window be as small as possible. I said something I shouldn't say. I should look up and say, God, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. And we should tell the person, I just said that. I shouldn't have said that. That was sin. We should call it sin. And we should name the sin. I just gossiped to you. Say the sin. I said something I shouldn't have said. I gossiped. I lied. We should say the sin. We should confess regularly. And when people confess to us, when our brothers and sisters confess to us, because we become a community who does this more and more, you'll have that experience where someone will come to you and say, I'm struggling with this. And yesterday I said this and I did this. And we should do what James 5:16 says. We should minister to each other. We should pray and intercede for each other. In that moment, we should remind our brother of the gospel, that in Christ you are a new creation. God forgave you for that sin, and he calls you to live like the new creation that you are through the power of the Spirit in you. Now as we end, there's one more question to answer. And that is, how can we think that we could do this, that we could confess? Because when I think about confessing, I instantly feel how difficult it is. And it's easy to say in theory, yeah, we should confess more. But when I start thinking about then turning to my children, my boys, and saying, hey, I just sinned. I got angry right now. How do you do that? There is a reason why our instinct is to hide our sin and deny our sin. It's very difficult to confess, because when we confess, we see and others see how bad, how weak we are. So how could we have any hope of being able to actually do this, to develop the habit of confessing? And the answer, like it always is the gospel. Go back to where we started. Go back to 1 John chapter 1. Read two verses with me, if you would. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then skip to verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The reason we can confess, the reason we can have any hope to say, I'm going to be a person who confesses my sin, is because of the gospel. If we are in Christ, Our value doesn't come from our works. God forgives us and he covers us and has covered us with the perfection that is in Jesus. So part of confessing for the Christian is recognizing and thanking God for the forgiveness that we have in Christ. It's not just saying, I did something I shouldn't have done. We can say, I did something I shouldn't have done, and you did something so much bigger, something that covers my wickedness, even this thing that I just did. So in this moment, as those of us who are Christians take bread and take juice, that's what we remember. We can lift them up together and we can say two things. As we take the bread and take the juice, we can say, I am bad. I'm not the person I should be. But your sacrifice covers me. And we can say, help me to live like the forgiven child that I now am because of what you did on the cross. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. These weeks where we dive, it seems, deep into our heart's propensity to be wicked, into our wickedness and our badness, we see ever more clearly how good and kind and loving you are. As we see our wickedness, Your grace appears brighter and bigger and more glorious in our hearts. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the cross, and we thank you that in him we have hope and promise that you forgive us and you love us in spite of our disobedience. So God, help us to embrace that. Help us to be people who freely confess when we sin. And as we do that, help us to be people who continually move towards the mark of being more and more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.